Thanks for listening to the OWASP Foundation Board Candidate Interviews. This is Adam Basso in Minneapolis. I'm a chapter lead in the OWASP Minneapolis-St. Paul chapter, and my chapter is hosting the OWASP AppSec USA Global Software Security Conference, September 22nd and 23rd, 2011. Find us on the web at www.appsecusa.org. Over the last several weeks, I spoke with OWASP Foundation Board candidates Christian Heinrich, Michael Coates, Sebastian DeLerschneider, and Dave Wickers. Each candidate was asked the same five questions selected from a pool of questions submitted by the OWASP community, and each candidate provided an unscripted response. The OWASP Foundation was established in 2001 as an open community and software security resource. Since then, OWASP has grown to be globally recognized as a credible source for application security standards. Individuals typically find OWASP when searching the internet for information about software security, and they are happy to find a reliable source of knowledge built by an extremely open and passionate community. OWASP is open to anyone. Anyone can attend OWASP's vendor-agnostic local chapter meetings, participate in regional and global conferences, and contribute to the many OWASP projects. And anyone can start a new project, form a new chapter, or lend their expertise to help on OWASP global committees. The OWASP Foundation Board of Directors consists of 6 elected volunteers. These unpaid volunteers dedicate themselves to the organizational mission, supporting the OWASP global committees and playing a pivotal role in the software security community. OWASP conducts democratic elections of its board members and committee chairs to enable bottom-up advancement of its mission. Each year, half of the board seats and all of the committee chair seats are up for election by the then-current registered members. To learn more about the candidates and the 2011 OWASP Foundation Board election being open for e-voting August 8th, visit www.owasp.org and look for the Election of Officers link. Before we got to the community-submitted questions, I asked each board candidate about himself. Here was Christian Heinrich's response.
I mainly do web application security work for the New South Wales government, which is a state government here in Australia, the largest state government, I should add. In addition to that, I also play bass. So, for instance, I played bass for the OWASP band during the OWASP European Conference in 2009, which people can see the photos of on Facebook.
Here was the response from Michael Coates.
Outside of OWASP, I work at Mozilla. Here I run the infrastructure security team, where we're responsible for end-to-end security of pretty much anything that we host at Mozilla. So web applications, web servers, file servers, etc. Pretty exciting work where we get to defend web applications used by millions of users every day all around the world. There's really never a dull moment here, and it's fantastic working at an organization like Mozilla that's nonprofit, open source, very similar to OWASP in many ways, actually. Outside of work, what do I do? I've done triathlons here and there, enjoy that, try and do some world travel when that opportunity presents itself. And I live in San Francisco, so there's never a shortage of fantastic new places to explore here.
Here was Sebastian DeLerschneider's response.
In my professional life, I'm specialized in security and specialized more in application security. So I've started in like 15 or 16 years ago as a developer. And after 5 or 6 years, got more interested into security and changed careers, becoming more specialized in project management and security. And after a couple of years, realized that I made a couple of mistakes during my first 5 or 6 years. And because of that, been specializing in application security and also donating my time to OWASP. Besides OWASP, I'm actively also participating in setting up a yearly security conference here in Belgium, Brussels, called Brucon. And if there's any time left, I also have a lovely wife and 2 daughters that I love to spend time with.
And here was the response from Dave Wickers.
I've been doing information security since 1988. I started off doing research on computer viruses back when the internet was first being born. And then for 10 years, I worked for a DoD-focused security company where I did a lot of work for various branches of the military and NSA and things like that in on big systems for security. We did a lot of focus on the software, but all different kinds of security. And then in 98, they got bought by a data center hosting company called Exodus. And that's when I got the opportunity to focus exclusively on application security. And I've been doing that ever since. So we were there for 4 years, established and ran and grew their application security practice. And then Exodus went bankrupt like every other .com in that area for the most part. And so that gave us an opportunity to seek new employment. And so the management team of that small group, we formed Aspect Security in 2002. And so I'm one of the co-founders of Aspect. And we've been growing nicely ever since. And so I've been, you know, focused on this problem pretty much exclusively for the last 20-odd years, with a specific focus on web for the last 13 now. And then outside of work, I'm married, got 3 kids that are all in middle school or high school, so that keeps me very busy. I like to do travel outside of work, although I do travel a lot for work, so that's kind of fun. I play a card game called Magic the Gathering, which has been around for 20 years. That's one of my hobbies. And then other than that, I pretty much spend all my time with my family.
Our first question comes from current OWASP Foundation board member Tom Brennan. Here's the question. Have you run or are you running any OWASP projects or committees? And could you tell us about your work in OWASP? Here was Christian Heinrich's response.
Previously, well, my sort of initiation with OWASP was with the Google Hacking Project. That project was discontinued back in September of 2009. I currently lead the OWASP PCI project, which I'm actually in the process of rebooting. So we've expanded the scope of that quite considerably to generate educational material. So that's for, say, payment application developers, that kind of thing. In addition to that, we're also looking at generating, say, APIs for payment applications, and as well as sort of participating in the PCI community events, which are two happening later this year, one in Europe and one in the US. I haven't served on any committees, but I do participate in all the committee mailing lists.
Here was the response from Michael Coates.
So regarding projects, I started the OWASP App Sensor project in 2008, the Summer of Code that OWASP put out. And briefly, the App Sensor project is a project to allow web applications to defend themselves against attackers. Basically, I did a lot of code audits for security and penetration assessments of applications over the years, and the thing I found was a lot of the methodology was very consistent between applications. Now, clearly, there's lots of differences in the way the application is designed and how you test the security, but there were definitely things that I kept testing that I thought to myself, you know, why is the application allowing me to do these very odd actions that are not in the normal workflow of the application? And so that led me to this project where the App Sensor project defines a methodology for detecting deviations from the normal behavior of use of an application, classifying those as either, you know, a suspicious activity, maybe a fat finger typo kind of thing, or maybe it's something where the user is definitely attacking the application, like changing a hidden field, you know, something that couldn't happen accidentally. And then developing a response system. So if the application sees a user doing all these malicious things, let's lock them out of the application or alert an admin so we can proactively defend the application against the attacker. So this project's actually come along pretty significantly over the last few years. We have a really awesome team of people working on it. John Melton, Colin Watson, Ryan Barnett. We have a good list, and I feel bad if I miss anybody. So please check the website to see everybody on there. But the project's really coming along, and it's taken off to the point where we have other people driving different components of it. So I couldn't be happier with its growth. Regarding OWASP committees, I joined the OWASP membership committee at the previous summit, so not the one this year, but I believe the first one, which was 2008, I think, November 2008. So I joined the membership committee. I've been on that ever since. And I think that's a good intro into, you know, wanting to run for the OWASP board, because it shows you the non-technical side of OWASP. And by that, what I mean is, on the membership committee, we worked to make OWASP a better organization as a whole. We didn't work on solving cross-site scripting, you know, any sort of other sexy technical security work, which is awesome and what we do all the time in OWASP. But that was some exposure to just helping the organization grow as a whole. And I think that's a good preface for running for the board and exposure, because that's what I want to do on the board. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more, but I want to help the OWASP organization grow. I realize that if you want to do awesome technical security work with OWASP, everyone can do that. And that's why OWASP is great, because anyone can walk in the door and start a new project. And I certainly don't want to change that. In the board, I want to serve as a facilitator and a catalyst to make all those projects and the organic growth of OWASP more effective. So the OWASP App Sensor Project, the Global Membership Committee, also did the OWASP TLS cheat sheet. Check that out if you haven't seen that. And I was a contributor to the top 10, the last OWASP top 10.
Here was Sebastian Delierschneider's response.
I got involved in OWASP in 2005. Which is already a long time ago, when I went to the first European OWASP conference. That was in the UK, Royal Holloway, and it was an eye opener for me, and it was really interesting to see the energized people who were there. It was still a small community, so I went home in Belgium. I saw there was no chapter yet there. I fired an email to Jeff Williams saying, okay, I'm interested in starting a chapter. And he said, okay, go on. And it all started from there. So I started the Belgium chapter here in 2005, sent out an email hoping to have like 10 people. And in the first chapter meeting, we got like 40 people. So we had to look for a bigger venue. And since then, we have a very active and thriving community here in Belgium. I got more involved in OWASP in also organizing a couple of European conferences in Leuven here, but also helping out the conference in Poland. I have started the education project, which I think is still a very important project, because it really leverages the knowledge that project leaders put into OWASP and turn that into material that can be used in OWASP-based courses. And I've myself been very active lately in the chapters committee, where besides being a board member, which I've been since 2008, I'm also an active chapter committee member, making sure that chapters do get the support to drive the local community, because this is really like the lifeblood of OWASP, to make sure that we deliver the message on a local level and make sure that people get involved.
And here was the response from Dave Wickers.
I've been volunteering for OWASP since 2002. We first started off, when I say we, I mean Aspect Security. We first started contributing to OWASP by donating WebGoat. I wasn't much involved in that. But the following year, Jeff Williams and I came up with the idea of the OWASP Top 10. So we wrote that document. That was our first big project contributed that I worked on. And obviously, most people are pretty familiar with the OWASP Top 10, where we came out with in 03, we updated in 04, 07, and in 2010. And Jeff was the lead on that for the first two or three releases, I forget. And then I've been the lead for the last couple releases and continue to be the lead on that project. I've also contributed to WebGoat a little bit. I've contributed to ASAPI a lot, mostly in evangelism, but I've also done a tiny bit of coding and some design work and documentation work for ASAPI, as well as helping other people get ASAPI projects started in different languages, including I'm helping a team work on a C version of ASAPI and a C++ version of ASAPI. I've also was the project lead for the Application Security and Verification Standard project at OWASP, which was the first standard that came out of OWASP. That seems to be a reasonably successful project. I have now transitioned leadership of that to two other guys at OWASP that are taking it over from me. So that's good, because I have a very limited amount of resources personally that I can contribute. So I think that'll help breathe some new life into that project. I was also the OWASP conferences chair since that role was created. So I personally organized conferences in the U.S. and Europe myself for 3 years consecutively. And then after the summit in Portugal in 2009, we established a global conferences committee. I helped that committee get off the ground. And now they're pretty much running all the conferences with very little involvement from me other than helping to review contracts and finances and things like that. So that's something I helped get going, and now it's going great guns with 5 to 10 people on that committee. I've also been on the OWASP board since its inception, and I think after this election, assuming I'm reelected, I would be the only original board member who's still on the board at that time. Dennis Cruz and Jeff Williams and I were the first original board members, along with Andrew Vanderstock. And obviously, Dennis has already stepped down, and Jeff is stepping down. So I'd be the last continuing board member from the original four that started eight years ago, I guess. So anyway, that gives you a high-level summary of what I've been doing. I'm also the unofficial chief financial officer of OWASP. I actually sign all the checks, and I push the button on all the PayPal payments. I work with Allison to understand our budget and serve as the second man in our two-man controls. So she writes all the checks and gets them all prepared, and I actually send them out the door. So that is another role that I've played in OWASP, as well as I've also helped with Jeff Williams establish the OWASP Foundation, get that legal entity actually created. Then we helped hire the employees that we've got. Jeff and I personally found them, Allison and Kate, and Dennis found Paolo. And we helped establish benefits for those employees, insurance for those employees, all the stuff it takes to basically start a company. We did that for OWASP using the knowledge that we gained from starting Aspect 5 years previously.
Our second question was submitted by a member of the OWASP Global Projects Committee. Here's the question. Should OWASP be a top-down organization or a bottom-up organization? Here was Christian Heinrich's response.
I believe it should be bottom-up because it should actually respond to the needs of the community, not have the OWASP board actually dictate what people should do.
Here was the response from Michael Coates.
I strongly believe that it should be a bottom-up. And so to clarify what that is, I think that the OWASP board is at the bottom of the food chain of OWASP, kind of like the foundation that everything can grow on top of. If you follow my blog at all or have seen the post, I did a post on Builder, Breaker, and Defender, which is a different kind of categorization strategy for OWASP projects. And if you look at the graph or the picture that I created, it has the OWASP board at the very bottom, the global committees on top of that, and then all of OWASP, all of the contributors worldwide building on top of those. And so what I see the board as is this foundation that can set the stage for OWASP to be great. If you need resources, if you need coordination, we can provide those things. And that's what I think the board should do. But I don't think the board should be seen as someone at the top of everything that, every time an individual wants to push a new release of their project, that it has to go through this rigid review process and the board has to sign off. I think that's totally wrong. I think we need to have the OWASP organization designed to scale. And the only way to do that is to build a solid foundation and then allow for organic growth across the board. Because as many people have said, the challenge that we're trying to battle here of, application security in all its forms, web applications, mobile, thick clients, embedded devices, all of those things we're trying to try and address security. There's no way we could do that without a system that can scale to meet that massive challenge. And so the only way I believe we can do that is to have OWASP board build a foundation that the rest of the organization can grow from.
Here was Sebastian DeLeerschneider's response.
I think it should be a bottom-up organization. But the more people that get involved in OWASP, the more difficult it is to to get it done or to get work done in an organized way. I think we should really think of OWASP as being organizations on two levels. We have the projects, the chapters, where everything should really be bottom up. Everybody who wants to donate his time or his energy as a chapter leader or as a project leader or a project contributor should not be a lot of rules there. It should be really easy to contribute to OWASP. On the second part, we have like the growth in our organization forces us to have a more professional organization, to have a more professional back office between brackets. And there, I think we should have a more professional organization. But these are like two different streams within OWASP that have their own interactions and their own movements. And we should not mix those two up. And I think that's an important part of the puzzle there and the solution. So the OWASP Foundation supporting the OWASP activities needs more professionalization and needs to think as in terms of platforms and providing the means and for OWASP project leaders and OWASP chapter leaders to get things done. And for the rest of the organization, we should make sure that it remains agile and that people who are coming within the community don't have to fill in forms and don't have to go over big hurdles to donate a couple of their hours of their free time.
And here was the response from Dave Wickers.
I'm definitely bottom-up oriented. What I think OWASP, the foundation, and the board members and the committees, I really think their job is to provide a platform to make it really easy for new people to contribute. So people come in with an idea. The more we can reduce the barriers to entry, the more likely I think we are to succeed. So if it's really easy to start a project, it's really easy to start introducing interested, like-minded people to each other so they can work together. If we can provide them great tools to communicate, to host their projects, whether it's code projects or documentation projects or whatever, training, whatever they are, the easier we can make it so they can focus on the interesting technical aspects of the project they want to start, the better, I think. So, and that's not just for projects as well. I mean, the same thing goes for starting chapters. The same thing goes for hosting local conferences, because a big role in OWASP is not just our projects, of course, but our role as community builders and helping raise awareness and allowing people to learn about AppSec security either at the awareness level or the depth that they might get out of a conference. All of that is important. So I really don't think the top down, if you will, the board should be dictating to the OWASP community. I think it's okay to encourage focus in certain areas, potentially, like saying, hey, I think it would be good for the world or the community if we focus on a particular area. I don't see any problem with providing suggestions or encouragement, but I definitely do not think the board should be dictating the agenda.
Our third question goes to the level of involvement appropriate for a board member. Here's the question. How many hours per week will you commit to OWASP work if you're elected? Here was Christian Heinrich's response.
My current commitment within Australia is 8 hours per week. Generally, I, for instance, check my OSB mail every day. In addition to that, I've done a number of sort of audits of the OS chapters here, which took considerable amounts of my time, as well as rebooting chapters, all that kind of thing. So my current commitment is 8 hours, which I believe is in line with the other current commitments of the other board members.
Here was the response from Michael Coates.
I thought long and hard about running for the board. I've been involved with OWASP for many years. I've done a ton of work for OWASP. I think it's a fantastic organization, and it really fits with me as an individual and contributing to open source and being out in the open. I mean, heck, you know, I work for Mozilla where we do the same thing. But one of the big things that caused me to pause before running for the board was I understood that it was a huge commitment. And I had to decide, you know, with my schedule, with my life and what I have going on, am I ready to make that commitment? Because if you know me personally, when I commit to something, I do it. I decided one day I was going to do my master's program, and I did it. I decided I was going to do a triathlon, and then I did it. So when I commit to doing something, I see that through, and I never do anything without top quality results. So regarding hours per week, you know, it's silly of me to throw down a number and say I'm going to work this many hours a week, but I'm going to do a top quality job on the board, and I'm committed to that. And whatever amount of time that requires is the amount of time I'm going to put in, and of course, then some, you know. And I don't settle myself for anything but, you know, top-notch results, and that's what I want to bring to OWASP. So I recognize that this is not a small commitment. This is a large commitment. You can think of it as almost another job. And so the best I can balance two jobs at the same time is how I'm going to make it happen. But as I've said a few times here, I'm definitely committed to the amount of time it's going to take. I realize it's a large commitment, and I'm going to drive that to successful results.
Here was Sebastian de Leerschneider's response.
If I have to add it up, it really depends on their week per week, but it's probably like 4 hours per week that I'm investing in OWASP, and I think that's healthy. You should involve, or you should be involved in the community and donate a couple of your hours, but you should also make sure that you get involved in other communities and remain active in other parts of your life.
And here was the response from Dave Wickers.
I've probably been doing 4 to 8 hours of work on OWASP a week for the last 7 years. I mean, obviously it's jumped significantly during certain times, but I'm doing OWASP work every single week and have been for a long time and plan to continue to do so. Obviously, one of the main things I've been trying to do with my limited time is actually help establish other committees and other groups that I can leverage, because I'm working on a half a dozen different OWASP things at the same time, and even 4 to 8 hours a week is a pretty thin investment across that many projects. So one of the things I've been focused on is helping get the committees going, helping get projects running so that other people I get out of the way. I'm not a bottleneck anymore for certain things. So that's one of the reasons why I handed off the ASBS project to new leadership, is because I just didn't have the time to focus on it. But you know, when I did work on that particular project, I spent enormous number of hours getting that project done and out the door, and then running around and evangelizing it at various conferences. So anyway, that gives you a sense of the amount of effort that I spend on OWASP. A lot of what I contribute is not very visible, actually, because it's a lot of work with Kate and Paolo and Allison internally, just keeping OWASP itself running as smoothly as possible, so that the people out there trying to get their stuff done can, again, have a low friction environment to work in and be successful.
Our fourth question covers OWASP accounting and finance. Here's the question. Have you reviewed the accounting practices of the OWASP Foundation? And if so, what can you tell us about OWASP's records? Here was Christian Heinrich's response.
I'm aware that Matt Tesario is intending to create a number of budgets related to sort of operational, sustaining cost centres, and these were outlined in the May 2011 board minutes. So essentially what Matt's looking at doing is basically so we won't go into financial black. One of my intentions as an elected board member, and it's on my OWASP board candidacy page as part of my bio on the OWASP website, is to actually do some fairly decent fiscal management of the organisation, so we don't spend money just on the last minute sort of initiatives, or this seems like a good idea, without sort of getting a plan behind that. I also know that we're intending to engage a third-party auditor, which I'm not sure has been officially engaged yet, and I believe their name is Ernst & Amper or something similar to that. And Tom Brennan's actually reached out to them. I believe they've done our books before, but I'm not too sure on that. Obviously, coming from Australia, it's hard to get an insight into the not-for-profit laws, etc., of US-based foundations. But here in Australia, I'm fairly familiar with the New South Wales Associations and Corporation Act. But mainly because I've done a number of associations here in Australia, so we've gone through that formal process of making them a not-for-profit.
Here was the response from Michael Coates.
I really think it's awesome that we publish our financials. I think that really speaks to the way OWASP works, and we need to continue to do that. I know there were some discussions in the mailing list recently of, you know, is there a secret budget or an approved amount that doesn't need to be recorded? And there was confusion, but in the end, the answer was no, there isn't. And I think that the fact that we have all of our data completely published is perfect. And that's what we need to continue doing in the spirit of openness at OWASP. Regarding the finances themselves, I think we need to continue to have quality people do those finances. We need to hire top-notch individuals to do that. I mean, we're great at security, and we should continue to do security things. But when it comes to financial recordings, we need to hire the experts in that to make sure that when someone looks at us from the outside, they can see that everything is in line, we're doing everything we need to. Some of the things that I think are interesting about the finances and issues that we've tackled on the membership committee is the different projects that we like to do or we want to do, such as the Summer of Code, the 2008 Summit, the 2011 Summit, those cost a good chunk of money. The 2008 Summit cost around, I believe, $135,000 for just over 80 people. And then for the 2011 Summit, we spent more, about $230,000, I believe, bringing in, you know, a heck of a lot more people, almost double, 150-some people. That's a lot of money. And if we want to continue to fund these awesome events, we need to look at the finances and look at our funding model and say, you know, we have over 1,200 members now, I think, last I checked. That's bringing in X amount of dollars. We have almost 40 corporate supporters also bringing in around $5,000 per supporter. Is the amount of money bringing in going to allow us to do the things we want to do? And if not, what kind of funding options can we look at? Because we don't want to get into a situation where we can't hold another summit because we don't have any money and we didn't think about it. So we need to do that planning to say these are the goals we want to do over the next few years at a big picture, because we have lots of, again, organic things happening across the board that we don't need to plan for. That's all individual supporters, individual commitments. But at a bigger level, these summits, Seasons of Code, you know, university tours, a fantastic idea we could do across the various continents, they all cost money. And we need to plan for those, figure out how much they're going to cost, and build a strategy to get that funding to make it happen.
Here was Sebastian Delierschneider's response.
As a foundation board member, we get regularly informed about the current status of the accounts. So Allison is doing a great job there, which means that we get a monthly P&L report, and we do a yearly budgeting of what comes in and what gets out. And I think in general, the OWASP Foundation, the supporting foundation, is doing fine. There is enough income, but if we want to reach our mission, we will have to get in more funds to make sure that we get enough resources to provide the project leaders with the resources they need. So and it also, we have to provide also the chapter leaders with more funds to drive local activities. But all in all, I think we are doing fine. I don't have the right exact figures here with us, but we have to stay prudent as well. So because when I started in 2005, there was really nothing as an organization. When I got involved as a board member in 2008, there was still zero people really being paid to run this. It was, I think it was Dave Wickers who did it all. So it was only since like 2009 that we hired a couple of people doing operations and accounting. And it grew really quickly from there. But it's, we have to make sure that now we are hiring people and we are providing people with a job, that we make sure that we can still keep on paying them. We are building up a social responsibility towards them as well. So that's an important part. Recently, Matt has provided a model or suggested a model to make sure that we have that we split up the budget in a foundation budget where we can run the foundation, basically, where we provide the committees with a budget where the, so the committees can decide upon what they want to do on a yearly basis. And we we set aside a minimum like 5 to 10% of the budget on a savings account to make sure that we can continue the AWAS Foundation in the next years. So, and that is a really good proposition of Matt.
And here was the response from Dave Wickers.
You know, Allison does all the books, and we have her produce a monthly report that's essentially a public record of where OWASP is at. We also have had our books audited by an independent third party twice. We're on a cycle where every 3 years we have them independently audited. The audits are not inexpensive, so we're careful to be good stewards of OWASP's money, which is why we don't have them audited every year. Because we make all our financial records public constantly, we don't feel like there's a lot of risk in having our books audited only every 3 years rather than every year. And then by doing that, obviously we're saving, you know, $3,000-$4,000 a year, 2 years out of every three that we can invest in actually achieving the mission of OWASP. So one of my focuses has always been, and I think this is a role of the entire board and really every member of OWASP, is being good stewards of OWASP's funds. And so, you know, we try to be extremely frugal with the funds that we have. We don't have very much actual funding. I mean, I think our actual net revenue that we can spend every year is in the neighborhood of like $250,000 a year. It's not a huge number. We only have 2.5 employees. I feel relatively instrumental in getting OWASP to that level of funding because our primary revenue source is the OWASP conferences, which obviously I was heavily involved in. So, you know, I got those launched and off the ground, and now that we have, you know, 10 international conferences and many, many regional and local events. And I think 60% or more of our funding is through the OWASP conferences. So I think I've helped OWASP grow significantly in terms of financially. And then I also review all the contracts that we enter, so if it's for hotels or services or whatever, and I'm always looking for the best deal for OWASP. And we're also working on trying to get sort of effectively barter arrangements with various places. So we're looking for friends of open source and security to contribute to OWASP. So we're getting vendors that actually contribute services to us for free in exchange for membership and recognition of their contributions. So we're always, or at least I am, I'm always focused on stretching OWASP's dollar to make it, as the most impact we can with the limited amount of funding we have. And we've also been very focused on making sure that when we do spend money, there's no potential for abuse. So the OWASP board members, for example, they don't get paid for their time. The only funding they ever receive is paying their travel expenses to go to conferences once or twice a year to have board meetings and things like that. So we're, you know, very focused on making sure OWASP's members who contribute funds to OWASP through their memberships, either individual or corporate members, that money goes towards achieving the mission, and we minimize, you know, what people call the overhead of an organization. And I think we've done a great job minimizing that. Allison works basically a day a week doing the accounting and things like that. So that's a very minimal expense to manage, you know, all the zillions of things going on at OWASP financially.
Our fifth and final question is a tough one. This question was submitted by John Velander in Sweden. Here's the question. OWASP was started in the United States and still is much more concentrated in America than in the rest of the world. How can you, the board, and committees facilitate a global spread of chapters, events, projects, and sponsorship? Here was Christian Heinrich's response.
Firstly, I come from an end user background, so by that I mean I'm not associated with a vendor or a consultancy. Again, this commercial independence is one of the things that I've highlighted on my candidacy page on the OS Wiki, which is my CMLH user page. As you know, because I'm not from either Europe or the US, where there is a majority of the, well, all the board members are currently from, hailing from Australia. What I'm certainly looking at is South America and Central America, Africa, Middle East, and Asia. I've done a fair amount of work within the Asia-Pac region, and I'm working with Helen and a number of other people to sort of stabilise some of the issues in our region. So that's essentially what I can bring, is a more global focus that's not specifically European or US-based.
Here was the response from Michael Coates.
One of the awesome things, of course, about OWASP is that it's global, that we reach all around the world, and that when we want to solve a problem, when we want to tackle a security issue, we don't limit ourselves to the resources that are in a particular area or region. We look for the best resources across the world. And I think that's great. That's actually kind of what we do here at Mozilla. We hire the best people wherever they are in the world. Regarding how to make OWASP spread across the world, I think committing to that goal is the first step. And I think we've been doing a good job. We've been holding global conferences in the various continents every year. And we've been forming the structure to support that. And that's where, again, the OWASP, the board, and the committees come in. They form that structure that allows an individual in any country, anywhere around the world, to start a chapter. And then when they have questions or they need resources or assistance, they can lean on that foundation, the base of OWASP. And that's where we can provide them with materials. We have, you know, a variety of different things we can ship their way. We have the chapter handbook for a knowledge base of resource. And we have the mailing list to facilitate sharing of information. So I think as we continue to build the structure for the various different parts of OWASP, so chapters, events, projects, if we can build something that, again, is built to scale, then when we have people interested through various parts of the world, they can jump onto a strong framework that's going to allow them to be successful. Now, it is more than just providing the base or the seed for this to grow. I think we do need to be consciously making efforts in the various parts of the world. I think the fact that we have our world summits outside of the U.S. is great. We're committed to the open organization and the worldwide organization, and we need to continue to do that. And I think we need to do more of the OWASP tours that we've seen over the last year. I know Sammy and others did different tours of either South America or Europe. I can't recall the specifics. But I think those tours are really great ideas where we take a really awesome OWASP idea and we plan it out, we schedule it, and we take them around various places throughout the world to really spread that knowledge. And just the other day, just a week ago, I was in Greece to give a presentation at the ANISSA 4th Security Conference for Europe. While I was doing that, we scheduled a stopover in Athens, and I gave a presentation there to the OWASP Athens group. And that was great to sit down with, you know, 40-some different individuals from OWASP Athens, give a great presentation, and really bring that face-to-face communication. And another thing that we can all continue to do, and I've done this a few times in the U.S., and there's no reason it wouldn't scale anywhere else, is virtual presentations. We can't always send everywhere, although I think we should keep trying. But in those other situations, we can do virtual presentations face-to-face with something like Skype or another service. And that'll bring quality speakers all around the world, you know. You just have to deal with time zones. So I think we have a lot of different tools in our toolbox that we can leverage. And if we commit to this open worldwide organization and really push for that global spread, I think we can really be successful. And I think if we have that interest and that desire in the board members to lay that foundation, and also a constant push from quality people around the world like John and Dennis and everyone else all throughout the U.S., Europe, Asia, South America, etc., I think we can be really successful there.
Here was Sebastian Delierschneider's response.
Well, I think that's an easy question to answer. I'm not in the US. I'm not US based. So I'm based in Belgium. I think I'm one of the more one of the earliest project leaders within or chapter leaders within Europe. And OWASP is really is a global organization. Maybe it's not perceived that way from within the US, but a whole lot of activity is also taking place in Europe, Asia Pacific, and lately also really in Southern America. So we should really leverage that and make sure that we can activate the global resources we have to OWASP. If you see what's happening, for instance, now in Asia and in China on software and software development, I think there will be an enormous opportunity if we can also make sure that those people get actively involved in OWASP as well. And that's one of the reasons also I'm going to OWASP Asia in November. They've invited a board member, and then I volunteered to go to Beijing to speak about OWASP. If we can like leverage the people that are active there and make sure that they also contribute to the global OWASP mission, it will be a huge step forward. So it's just a question of it's a matter of getting involved and. What I've also done in the last months is also, for instance, starting a European legal entity. So OWASP Foundation has been known as an OWASP nonprofit in US, but here in Europe we've also started an OWASP legal entity. It makes us more credible here, and it also facilitates a lot of financial transactions and makes it easier to get invoices out here in Europe as well. So there is a practical level as well.
And here was the response from Dave Wickers.
That's definitely a strong goal of OWASP. I know it was launched out of the U.S., so obviously it's sort of natural for that to be with the concentration of the talent. Because, you know, people and meet other people and they infect them with the enthusiasm and so they start contributing. But obviously I don't know a lot of people internationally, so I personally can't help too much. But I did, you know, help launch the OWASP Europe conference series, and I think that series has really helped us gain a strong foothold in Europe. And I think the conferences are spreading throughout the world very nicely. And so I think we're achieving a lot of progress in that space. And I, you know, we've made the chapters model. You know, anyone can start a chapter. And of course, again, because the U.S. is where we're from, and I think there's a lot of financial spend on this space in the U.S. There's more tendency for people to care about that. But I think it's going to naturally spread. We've also recently established an EU entity, legal entity for OWASP, so that. We can take advantage of the tax law there and the nonprofit status that helps us be more financially efficient in Europe. And there's we're getting board membership. We've always had a couple board members in Europe. Obviously, we'd love to have enough people focusing on OWASP in Asia and South America and Africa that we eventually had board members from you know, every continent where there's, you know, a significant number of people. And so I think we're making a lot of progress. Could we do better? Certainly we could. But I think the membership committee, for example, is trying to lower the financial barriers to entry for international by making the $50 fee adjusted for whatever the local economics means. So we're going to lower the cost of becoming a member. So I think we're doing a lot to reduce barriers to join OWASP and contribute. And I think, again, the less friction that we have and the more service that we provide is going to attract more and more contributors to OWASP. So I think we're doing a lot of good things, but I don't want to stop doing that. I certainly don't want to rest on our laurels and say that, you know, we've accomplished our mission. I think there's a lot of additional work we can do. I think more chapters are growing. The conferences have definitely been spreading all over the world. I also see a better mix of international contribution to the committees. So the Global Conferences Committee, for example, is a great example of a committee that has membership and participation with a heavy international contribution. I mean, it took several years to get there, 2 or 3 years now that they've been running, but they're doing a lot better. So we're starting to see more representation from Asia and other places outside of the U.S. and Europe. I mean, because I can imagine people outside of Europe and the U.S. saying, well, OWASP looks like a U.S. and European entity rather than an international entity. So we want to get to the point where OWASP truly looks like an international entity by having strong representation in every major continent. And we're getting there. So until this year, we didn't even have a European legal entity. We now do. And I think as we get enough concentration of volunteers and participation in Asia and South America and places like that, we will potentially have legal entities there, as well as all the other infrastructure around OWASP to be more international. We've also had translation work done to try to make OWASP accessible to the world. I've been heavily involved in some of those because the OWASP Top 10 and the ASBS standard were both heavily translated into many different languages. The Top 10 is in like 10 or 12 different languages, for example. So we're doing a lot of good work, I think, to be as international as we can, again, given our limited resources, which is, again, the willingness of volunteers and the little bit of funding that we have. So I'm encouraged by what we're doing. I do recognize that it is U.S.-centric, but I think it's like a rock in the pond. You throw a rock in the pond and it starts to ripple outwards, and obviously the ripples originate from wherever it started, which was in the U.S. almost 10 years ago. And over time, those ripples are going to expand around the globe, and you can see that it has. But obviously the concentration is always going to be near the middle for a long time. I think we're making good progress, and I think it's important for OWASP to continue to focus on keeping it, growing it internationally, because this is an international problem. This is not a U.S. and European problem only, for sure.
Again, to learn more about the candidates and the 2011 OWASP Foundation Board election being open for e-voting August 8th, visit www.owasp.org and look for the Election of Officers link. I'm your host, Adam Basso, in Minneapolis. Keep making application security visible.